This recording is a production of Faith Builders Resource Group. This recording was made at REACH 2017, held on March 23 and 24, 2017, in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Thank you, James, and welcome to everyone who is present here. My subject, as you know, is, but what can I do? Some of you, how many of you were here yesterday? Just a few. Most of you, this is the first day. But there's something about walking through this hallway here, and upstairs, I mean, and seeing all these ministries and hearing about all the needs, and what can I do? Now, there are two objectives of this session. One of them is, I want to make it clear that from the scriptures, everyone is called to serve. It doesn't matter whether it's away from home or whether it's at home. Everyone is called to serve and be involved in extending the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And the second thing is, as we think about all the opportunities, begin with the thing that is right at your side. So those are the two emphases that you will find in this workshop. And also, you notice here on the handout that there are fill-in blanks. I have specifically on most of these that what you fill in is an important word or concept. Let's look at the title. But what can I do? And especially at this word, but. What does the word but imply? And let me tell you, I'm expecting to hear from you too. What does the word but imply?
There's a lot to do.
There's a lot to do? Okay. Someone else?
Other people can do more.
Okay. Other people can do more. You think of something else?
The word but would imply there's something before this.
Okay. There's something there. Yes. Anyone else? I have sometimes talked to people about taking responsibility or seeing if they would be interested in involving themselves in this kind of work. Maybe it was serving under AMA, or maybe it was teaching or whatever it may be. And here's oftentimes the way it goes. You know, really, I think that is a great work. And we have considered it, then what? But. Okay. And I know, as soon as I hear that word, I'm pretty sure of what the answer is going to be. But. But implies some sort of question or maybe objection. What are common in objections given to mission involvements? What comes to your mind?
Financial obligations.
Okay, I've got car payments to make, or maybe the mortgage. What else?
Children aren't at the right age.
Children aren't at the right age. Okay, I have family. All right. What else? Here's one, and I don't know if this applies to you or not. I would love to go. I want to go. Oh, I wish I could go. I desire to go. But I am stuck at home. I've got to take care of my parents. I have to milk cows. The way is closed. How can it be that I have such a desire and I would be willing to go, but nope, the door is closed? Or I'm too young, or I'm too old, okay? I have health issues, financial obligations. I'm not particularly gifted. I'm not educated. I'm not experienced. And you know what? No one has tapped me on the shoulder and asked me whether I would consider to go. Or I'm afraid it's outside of my comfort zone. What would I do there? I don't know how. I'm overwhelmed by the great needs and all these opportunities. You know what? I am compassion fatigued. I am tired. Just leave me alone. Now, I would like for us to open our Bibles, if you have Bibles, to Matthew 25. And looking at a familiar passage, the parable of the man who called his servants. And as I read this, notice the key words and phrases. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants. Who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received the 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I have not sowed, and gathered where thou have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers. Then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, notice this parable, Jesus is saying, this is as the kingdom of heaven. And there are some things here that are pretty sobering, that are pretty exciting, and certainly speak of opportunity. Notice that the servants are his servants. They're not someone else's servant. And a servant is to serve, to take orders, and to take commands. They all belong to the Lord, and all addressed him as Lord. And they were given various amounts, and two of them worked with what they had, and were a blessing, and were blessed. Two of them were profitable and made gain. One buried his opportunity. Why? Why did he bury it? Was it because he only had one? What does it say? What does Jesus
say? He was slothful.
He was slothful? Okay. Yes. He did not use his opportunities. He said, I was afraid. Okay. He said, I was afraid. He was slothful. And here is a very important point, that our concept of the master has a direct effect on our usefulness. So I don't know how you view God, but if we could somehow summarize how each one here this morning views God, we could say a great deal about each of us. How we view God has a direct effect upon our usefulness. Now, this one that buried his talent, and this phrase has just, this phrase that he's called an unprofitable servant. He is not called an unbeliever. He is not called a Gentile or a Samaritan or some heathen. He is called a servant, but he's called an unprofitable servant. That is quite sobering to think about. He is called an unprofitable servant, meaning useless or worthless. Think of it. Why do people today bury their opportunities? In what ways do we bury our opportunities today? That's a question for us to consider. And perhaps even more personal, we should ask ourselves, am I bearing opportunity? Why? If so. Now, the parable also tells us that each servant was accountable. To each one was given, and each were responsible. Each one was called to make a profit. The amount that was given and the amount that was gained was not the important thing, but that each worked with what they had. What have you been given? Actually, there's not very many of you that I know here this morning, so I don't know your particular. There's a few. But I don't know your particular situation. But think of it. What have I been given? And am I making increase? Think about that. Am I using what God has given me? Now, I'm going to open it for any questions or comments you might have. Everyone must be involved. What have you been given, and are you making increase? On the 5th of February of this year, my mother passed away. I have only one brother, and he made this comment about Mom. He said, as I look at Mom's life, one of the things that I notice that in the situation she found herself in, and maybe not according to her own choosing, but the situation she found herself in, it was her tendency to try to make the best of where she was at. Now, so the context here is that we've been given, and the question is, are we making increase? Now, let's consider the call. These scriptures are pretty well known, and I'm going to ask somebody, a volunteer, to read chapter 6, verse 8. Volunteer for Isaiah 6, 8. Thank you, John. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Thank you. And Matthew 20, verse 6. Matthew 20, verse 6. Yes. Okay, now, when I call for these, I want you to stand up and read the passage clearly so that everyone can hear. Isaiah, of course, we know is a prophet, a great prophet in the Old Testament days. And if Isaiah 1 through 6 is to be understood chronologically, it appears that Isaiah was in the service of the Lord. But in this service of the Lord, one day he saw a vision of God. And he was high and lifted up. And there was the refrain that was going throughout in this vision. Holy, holy, holy. It was a glorious vision. And he saw his own personal need, which always happens when we see God. We see something about ourselves as well. And he repented. The prophet repented. And after seeing God high and lifted up, he recognized his need and was graciously cleansed. Okay, John, you want to read Isaiah 6 verse 8?
Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, who shall I send? Who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me.
This illustrates so well that the cleansing that we experience in our life, the walk with our salvation experience, yes, we have the blessing of forgiveness of sins and being made into a new person and to have someone to walk with, walking with us, we with him. But it is not just for us. So here there is the cleansing, and at the same time comes the call. Now, if you have been born again, if you are a follower of Jesus, let me tell you that there is something for you to do. I don't know just what it is, and maybe you don't even know what it is, but there certainly is the call to go, whether that be just to this seat over here or whether it be on a dirt floor thousands of miles away. Okay, we already had Matthew 28, 19 up in our assembly, but I would like to have it read again. Matthew 28, 19 and 20.
Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen.
Thank you. Jesus said, go. Now, go is an action word. And it has been said that perhaps a better translation of this is as you go. So I don't know where all you're going to go today or tomorrow, but as you go, make disciples. And it's into all the world in Mark 16, verse 15. Now, in Matthew chapter 20 is a very interesting parable. The parable is about a man who had a vineyard, and he went to find helpers to work in his vineyard. And he went out early in the morning and found some, and they went, but there was a need for more. And so he goes at 9 o'clock and 12 o'clock, and finally at 5 o'clock, he still goes out, and he's looking for workers, and he invites them all to come. Now, Matthew 20, verse 6.
And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, why stand ye here all day idle?
Just think about that. Think about that question. Why do you stand here all day idle? Now, I'm assuming you're acquainted with this parable, and the time came for the pay. And then those that started at 5 o'clock, he paid them first. And the ones that have been there from 6 o'clock in the morning, they got paid the same thing. And somebody grumbled, remember? Now, I wonder how many of us have kind of sympathized with them. I mean, they're out there 12 hours. And over here, there's some that are only there for 1 hour, and they get paid the same. How's that fair? Now, can you understand the, quotes, rightness of their complaint? It's not real hard to understand that, is it? I mean, look, I mean, I know that they had agreed. I mean, you can't say anything about that. They agreed to one penny, however the King James says there, for the day, and then the 5 o'clock people get the same thing. Well, you know, really it is the master, but maybe I had a little talk with him if he does this again, right? I'd like to leave this thought with you, that our perspective changes on this when we realize it is better to bear the heat of the day, the burden of the day, in the vineyard of the Lord, than to stand idle all day long till 5 o'clock. You see, there's a blessing to work in the vineyard that far exceeds standing idle in the marketplace. If you are a believer, you are called to serve. And so, I hope that thus far it is clear in your mind that there is a responsibility that you have if you're a follower of Jesus Christ. Any questions or comments? Now we'll go on to the second objective. And we're looking at commitment. Commitment is more than a verbal expression. Commitment means surrender. Commitment leads to response and action. Commitment actually means less emphasis on the word but. Okay? Commitment means committing oneself. So what shall I do? Now I'm willing to do, but what shall I do? I'd like for somebody to read Matthew 9, 35 to 38 in a little bit. Someone, volunteer. Matthew 9, 35 through 38. Yes, thank you, thank you, thank you. Now, as Jesus was here in his ministry, he had begun his ministry, and he was moving about there in Galilee and other places, and as he was serving, teaching, and ministering to the people of his area, and in his time, he was moved with compassion because he saw they were scattered like sheep, without purpose. As sheep which had no shepherd, they wandered here, some there, some over here, some place. They were sheep that needed to be gathered. They had no shepherd. Now, let's read Matthew 9:35-38.
And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad, as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest.
Thank you. All right. She was reading just what I was describing. And so Jesus, as he sees this, he is moved with compassion. And out of that compassion and movement in his heart, he spoke to his disciples. He said, the harvest truly is great, but the workers are few. Now, in light of such conditions, what was the first thing he said should be done?
Pray.
Pray. Pray. Pray. I know not everyone can go to some far distant place or even to the next town, but there's not a single person here today that cannot pray. And this thing about saying I'm too young or I'm too old or I'm not gifted or I'm not this or that or something, no, no, no. You can pray. Pray that the Lord of harvest will send forth workers into his harvest. The harvest is so important for a number of reasons. It's large. They tell us that there are now 7 billion people, over 7 billion people. I think I remember, now I know I'm gonna have some age, I think I can remember when they said 4 billion. So now in my lifetime, they're saying over 7 billion. The harvest is large. There is a limited amount of time. And we don't know how much time there is. And I'm not only talking about the time when the Lord comes back, but there, in ways that I cannot explain, there are times that there are opportunities with certain people that if the opportunity is neglected later, it's no longer there. Consider present-day Europe, which has a lot of secularism, humanism, and does not appear, I'll put it that way, does not appear to be open to the gospel as they were in the 1500s. And there are other examples we could give. So there's a limited amount of time. And here's another reason that the harvest is so important. It is only from the harvest that the workers come. Think about that. The workers don't drop down from heaven or come out of the woodwork or like that. They come only from the harvest. So the harvest is tremendously important because it is large. There's a limited amount of time, and it's only the only place that the workers come from. Now, notice Jesus, he said, pray ye the Lord of harvest. This is the first response. It is not just a fallback activity when we don't know what else to do. So, okay, we have nothing left to do but pray. Wait a minute. There's something that's not quite right with that. Yes, prayer is the first response. And so the development of a prayer life is essential preparation for a life of ministry. So now maybe we don't know what all God has for us. And we don't know, is it this way or is it that way? And we don't know what these people are going to say over here. Are they going to agree to it? And nobody has asked me even. I don't know about you. I know we come from a variety of settings, but some of us, you know, we're not used to volunteering. It feels a little bit better if somebody comes, taps us on. Would you consider? I'm just saying here this morning that in preparation for serving the Lord, whether it be far or near, the development of a prayer life is extremely important. There are so many opportunities to pray for, so many ministries to pray, so many workers to pray for. Prayer is preparation. Prayer is preparation. It's not substitute for going or for action. And I know situations vary. It's interesting to notice that after Jesus issuing his call to pray, in the next chapter, he sends out his disciples to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So when I emphasize prayer here, we're not saying, well, okay, I've prayed. Lord, bless all the mission workers today. I've done my duty. I've been involved now in mission work. No, prayer is not a substitute for action, but the development of genuine prayer life, you can't really pray that the Lord would do a work here or save this person. We can't really pray without this attitude. Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? I have there in the handout some practical suggestions, and I didn't know that these ministries were all going to be giving their needs and we had an opportunity to pray for it. I didn't know that as I made out this handout. But here are just a few. There is the billboard ministry from Christian Aid Ministries. And if you get in touch with them, they will put you on a phone relay and maybe once a week or twice a week. It varies, and it's not always at the same time. You will get a call from Christian Aid saying, and they will explain about the need of prayer for a particular person who has called in. This is an opportunity to be involved. My friend Raymond Burkholder is involved in Macedonian teaching ministry, and he had told me. Now, say something. Say something for us. So I have his name there. You can contact him and learn more about the ministry, and there are prayer needs. There is the Joshua Project. Are any of you acquainted with this? Okay. You will get, and I just signed up for this, you will get every day a unreached people group to pray for. And mine comes about 5 minutes after 5 in the morning. Is that about when the rest of you come? Or maybe you don't know. It comes. Oh, maybe you're not signed up. But it will give you opportunity to pray for a people group. How many of you are acquainted with this publication here? The Global Prayer Digest. Like today, see. Yeah, how can you pray for all these? And so I've been trying to pray for the Joshua Project. And today, what is today? The 25th? March 25th? 24th, okay. Well, today we can pray for cooperative mission efforts. Oh, wait a minute. I'm in the wrong month. I don't know how to pronounce this name. But they're over there in southern Russia. In looks like in Dagestan. And these people are tough people. They need to be prayed for. And I have something there that you can contact them to subscribe to their publication. We can pray for people right where we're at. Now, in Exodus 4:2, God had been giving Moses an assignment. And Moses had objections. What are the people going to say? Let's turn to Exodus 4:2. I'll read verse 1 as well. And Moses answered, said, "But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, What is that in thine hand? And he said, A rod. Okay, so he had this rod in his hand. God said, What do you have in your hand? A rod. You know what? God used what he had in his hand to show and to validate Moses' calling. I think there's a principle that's involved here, and it's further illustrated in Elisha, in 2 Kings chapter 4, where there was a needy widow that was facing a crisis. There were debts to pay, and she did not have money, and the creditor was going to come and sell her sons to make up for the debt. And so she came to Elisha and said, I need help. And Elisha said, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in thine house? And what she had in her house was the very thing that God used to deliver her. And so I'm saying, but what can I do? Start with the right where you're at. Start right where you're at. There are opportunities that will come to you today, tomorrow, next week. Start with those things. And as you are faithful, God will open up more opportunities. I'd like to recommend this book right here. It can be bought at the bookstore, Let Me Die in Ireland, the story of Patrick, who had a call to serve in Ireland, and he waited 25 years before his superior said, it's okay to go. We said, what in the world? Why would you do that? But God did a marvelous thing in Ireland through Patrick. Oh, how many minutes do we have left?
2.5.
Anything that you would like to say? James said that we served in Kenya. We did. We served only 28 months. I did not want to terminate. But there were other considerations. I was not finished. But we came home. Okay. So then I was asked to take part in an orientation in Lancaster. Well, you know, okay, maybe we can do this. But this is not nearly as great as being on the mission field. Okay. Well, it's very interesting. We went to that orientation the first time, and do you know what happened? There was a brother there who was going to Kenya and had been planning to go to India, but could not go if he was going to Kenya. He said, Earl, would you consider going to India? What a blessing that was to me, even though, I don't know if I should say it this way, I had to come home. When I gave myself over to what could be done at home, then the Lord opened up something else. And I'm saying, just be faithful in the place where you're at, and God will give you more opportunity. God bless you.
This recording and many others are available from Christian Learning Resource, the campus bookstore at Faith Builders. For more information, call 1-814-789-4769 or visit us online at www.christianlearning.org.